You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. What a joy to be here with family. Hola, familia. ¿Cómo están? Ahí están. Te veo. Welcome online, too. We have an online campus, and sometimes everybody's like, what about us? Shout out over here. So shout out over there. Also, I sent a link to my mom. So hi, Mom, because that's what I do. I cannot tell you what a joy it has been to be a part of the conference this weekend. Listen, don't you think that we had about 8 preachers come out of that water today, this next generation of every woman? Lord. I don't even need I preach anything. After you have a baptism service, pretty much everybody like, thanks. You wipe your nose and you go home, because what just happened is life-changing for them and reminds us of the new life and the new thing God is doing. And I didn't even know you were doing baptism, so I'm so excited that I think that what the Lord has to say to all of us today is consistent. I love God. He doesn't, like, he's not random. I feel like somebody needs to hear that God is not doing random things in your life. He is consistent. He is working all things together for your good, even if sometimes in the middle of it, you're not quite sure how this goes with that and goes with that. You ever see people wear outfits that you're like, I'm not sure how that all comes together? Yeah, you ever see that? You're like, I don't know. But then you watch runway models and you're like, they did it too. I don't understand. Somebody knows what they're doing. And I want you to know God knows what he's doing in your life. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing it well if you will just trust him. The young lady, Amy, who was being dunked, I just feel like, if you're here, are you here? Wave at me. If you're not here, I'm going to say, there you are, sweetheart. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that your testimony and your voice matters, and it's going to be used not just today, but over and over and over and over again. I declare that God has given you his word in your heart and in your mouth, and it isn't going to be separate from your past. It's going to be because of that. The hard places, the painful places are what is going to compel you to share the goodness of God to your generation and the one yet to come. Amy, watch what God's going to do in your life. Don't underestimate how big he wants to be for you. Would you agree with me on that? Let's honor the Lord. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Well, again, I just want to say thank you. My husband, Chris, is here in the front row with me. He doesn't always get to travel, but we're going to spend a little bit of time out here on the West Coast, because in the East Coast is far away. So since I came, I said, you should come and let's hang out for a little while. And so I'm just really honored to have him here with me today. And it also, we're really glad that Andrew and Carrie had to stay at their houses, because we are in the middle of moving into our new house. Anybody ever been in the middle of moving? I'm stuttering because it's very traumatic and I'm still working through some of it. And so there's something really beautiful about waking up in the morning and not having to greet 10 construction workers who have now become your housemates. And you're like, hey, Bob, thanks. Go ahead, help yourself. Up to some coffee. And you're like hair in a pony, pajamas. And you're like, I don't know who's going to be here today, but could you hurry up? I said to my husband today, I said, honey, did you tell our contractor that we really would like him to be done by December 1? He said, I did. And he said, not a chance. And I was like, come on, Jesus. I just really want my house to be my house. And I'm stuck in the middle. We had to let go of the house that we had, and we have vision for the house we will have, but right now we are in the middle. Anybody feel like you are in the middle of something, some place in life that you are not there anymore? You are heading there, but somewhere in the middle, you're like, I just need a little bit of hope. I need a promise. I need something that keeps me moving in the direction of the new thing. And today I want to say to you that God makes all things new, and his promise is yes and amen for you. Can I hear an amen this morning? I like these people. I'm going to take you all home with me because you respond. Thank you. You know, I want you to know I'm going to yell and say amen a lot, whether you say it back to me, but it helps me a whole lot. if you hang out with me. The people of Israel were stuck in the middle multiple times in their journey of being set free from places of exile. If you've read the Old Testament, you know that the people of Israel were God's chosen people. We talked about that in our conference this week, that we are chosen ones of God, His inheritance. But Carrie said it so beautifully. We are God's inheritance, but sometimes we like to step out of that inheritance. And he's like, but I'm just trying to give you the new thing I have. And you're like, not right now, because I want to just try this old thing real quick. And he said, but the new thing is going to be better. Yeah, but the old thing, I'm familiar with the old thing. And he said, but the new thing I have for you, it may be new, but I promise it's going to be better. But you're like, yeah, but see, God, if you could just give me the old thing again. And we get stuck in patterns of getting lost and locked in things that are not in our best interest. And the people of Israel found themselves repeatedly stuck in old things. They would get captured every time they would walk away from God, and they'd end up in this middle place of exile. And I would imagine that as they are captives by another nation, how anxiety-provoking that would be, how stressful that would be, how much they wish they either were before, back or forward, just not in the middle. But so much of life is in the middle, don't you know? You know, we live kind of in the middle. We live on earth knowing one day we're going to be in heaven with God eternally. We know the kingdom of God is here right now, but it's not quite yet fully accomplished. And so we live in the tension of the now but not yet situation of our faith. And God says today to you, I have a word of hope. I am making all things new. I am making all things new for the people of Israel who were stuck in Babylonian captivity, in exile. There is a scripture out of Isaiah 43, and this is where we are going to hang our hat this morning. And you may have heard this before, and I hope you will tuck it into your heart again. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, and it says this, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold," go ahead and say behold. "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert place." Oh, isn't that a beautiful promise? Isn't that something that makes your heart leap and get you excited about what's coming? But sometimes we are in the middle for just a little longer than we'd like. Today, I just want you to know that that new thing is coming. That new thing is in the works. Why? Because we serve a God who does the new thing. And he's doing it even in your life right now, just like my construction workers are doing a new thing in my house right now. I am trying to behold the new thing. Jesus, have mercy. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need prayer. Hallelujah. There are four things that I want you to take away with you today that I believe come from this scripture and will give you hope as you are in the middle. Now, I want to speak to some who feel who are stuck in the middle. I want you to know that God is an unstuck kind of God. He pulls us out, it says in Psalms, out of miry clay situations. Miry clay is kind of like cement that can hold our ankles down into mud. The word of God says that he will pull you up out of those stuck places and put your feet on a firm foundation. He doesn't just leave you there. Then he gives you a new song to sing, a song of praise to your God, because you never get unstuck because of your own goodness, because of something you've done right, but simply because there's a God who loves you and says, I'm not leaving you there. I'm making you unstuck. And I believe there's a word for somebody here today that feels like, I'm not just in the middle. I am stuck. There's no going back. There's no going forward. And I want you to know that God is an unstuck kind of God, and he is doing something to pull you up and put your feet on a firm foundation. And in this place of waiting, in this in-between place, the word of the Lord to the people of Israel was simply this: I am doing a new thing. And there are four things I want you to take away. I know I already said that, but I'm saying it again because I forgot I already said it. So there you go. And you can write that down. The first thing I want you to take away is simply this. Creators create. Go ahead and say that with me. Creators create. I had a word for Miss Candace over here because she's a creator. I know she is, and God's got some new stuff she's supposed to be stepping into and designing and evolving, and she's not allowed to sit on it anymore. I just told on you in front of everybody else, so there you have it, because God is doing a new thing. Creators create. The first thing I want you to know, that it is God who says, I'm doing a new thing. He is a creator God. We heard this morning, Genesis 1:1, God created all things, and he never stops creating. And I love that Isaiah 43 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Not, hey guys, if you could just start doing something new, I'm going to partner with you. Hey, guys, if you could just get your act together and start working on something, then maybe I'll approve it. No, God says to you, wherever you stand, he is creating something new in your midst. He's a creator God, and creatives always create. God is doing something new. In the beginning, God created, and he has never, ever stopped. And I love that even at the end of days, Revelation 4:11, it says, the angels and the 24 elders are around the throne, and they're singing to Jesus, and they say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The new thing in your life doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. I'm just here to pull the pressure off of you. Take the pressure off of some of you who are working so hard, you don't know where to go, right or left. And I feel like the Lord says, I'm giving you permission to stop, breathe, and worship. And let me create the new thing in your life. Stop, breathe, and worship. Stop, drop, and roll. Don't do that. Stop, breathe, and worship. And allow God to begin the new thing. See, sometimes me, I get in the way of God's new thing because I have my own creative ideas. Anybody have creative ideas that sound real, real, real good? And God's like, well, that wasn't my idea. And I was like, yeah, but look how good it is. And he's like, you think so? God says, Tina, put your hammer down, put the wrench down, put the tools down, put the stuff down. Let me create for you the new thing that I have. Will you trust me in this middle place that I am doing a new thing? You know, as I was preparing this, I heard the Lord say, make sure that you say that sometimes a new thing looks like less, sometimes it looks like more. And sometimes it looks like different. Sometimes we think the new thing God is doing is like millions of dollars. I always think that's the new thing God's going to do, right? How many are like, God's doing a new thing? That means I'm going to get some money. Everything's going to be bigger. The new thing is a promotion. The new thing is a bigger house. The new thing for single ladies is a really cute husband. The new thing, guys, is like, yes. All the new things are like bigger and more. But sometimes the new thing is less of the thing that hurts you. Sometimes the new thing is less of that thing that's got you stuck. Sometimes the new thing is a no to something you've been saying yes to that never belonged in your life to begin with. And we would never do less, but God says, everything I do is always more. So even if it might look like less to you, I promise you it's more. Let God create the new thing that he is doing in your life. God is doing a new thing. Number one, creators create. Number two, memory is overrated. Go ahead and say that with me. Memory is overrated. Listen, I like to see this more and more the older I get because I can't remember nothing. So I was like, it's overrated. Who needs to remember my name? I don't even need to know that. If you know my name, that's enough, right? I'm like, who am I? I don't know. Memory is overrated. The scripture goes on to say, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. That seems like an odd instruction. Don't remember what used to be.
Because in order for a new thing to come to pass, we have to let go of the old things. We have to release the old stuff so we can be ready to step into the new thing. Sometimes we have to let go of pain, and that can be hard to do. But the Lord is inviting us to release those things I've had stuck out of pain. Sometimes we have to let go of expectations. Sometimes we have to let go of our own ideas of what it should be. You know, I had a prayer years and years ago. Before I met my husband, I was in a serious relationship that ended. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm sorry. Can I say that? I mean, you know, I wasn't married to the guy. It was whatever. And I remember the Lord gave me this prayer. God, protect everything that's mine, and whatever is not, I give to you. And that has begun to be a prayer of release for me ever since. Lord, protect everything that's mine. Keep the thing that you are doing that is new. Everything else I let go. I don't want the stuff I created. I don't want the stuff that doesn't do me any good. I only want what God is doing. And sometimes we have to forget and not rehearse. Philippians 3:13 says, I do not consider that I have made it my own or I have already arrived to the finish line. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal, the new thing that God is doing in the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Not only is God doing a new thing, he's inviting you to forget the things of old. Even old patterns of the way God did things. Sometimes God does a thing in our lives a certain kind of way, and you're like, well, this is how God's always done it, so this is how God's going to do it again. And he said, but I'm a God, and creators always create, so I might have a new way to do this. But if you're so stuck in the old ways that God did it, then you're never going to be looking for the new thing that he's going to do. And you're going to start building a little idol and a little religious activity around the thing that God used to do when he used to do it. And he said, but I'm alive and active right now in your life doing a new thing. Will you forget those things? It's interesting in this chapter in Isaiah 43, just a couple of verses before, God is rehearsing how he delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. And then two verses later, he says, now forget that. Why? Because, see, there's no water ahead of you. There's only desert land. And if you're looking for me to part seas, well, there's no sea for me to part. So instead, he says, I'm going to make a way in the desert places. He says, where I used to dry up the water, guess what? Now I'm making water rise up. Why? Because he does new things in God's kind of way. We have to forget the former so we can give him permission to do it his way. Oh, don't compare what was or what will be. Invite the Lord to do the things the way he wants to do them. Do you know the mind has a great, crazy way of recreating memories anyways? If you know the science of the brain, every time we recall a memory, we actually tweak it related to what we're going through today. My husband's a lawyer, and he'll say that if you don't get a witness to say their story within, 24 hours, it almost doesn't count in the court of law. I'm making this up. I'm not a lawyer, so I can lie. I'm not making it up. You said this. Don't shake your head at me. Yes, thank you. Two thumbs up. I'm right. But there's a short window where a witness actually is credible for what it is, because the longer time goes, the more our memories begin to be tweaked, good, bad, or indifferent. And so God says, be present with me. Forget the former. Stay with me now. Creators create. Memory is overrated. The third thing I want you to remember is simply this. Hand-me-downs don't work. Aren't your style. Go ahead and say that. Hand-me-downs aren't my style. Listen, and I'm saying this in a culture where vintage is super dope. I recognize. But I just thought this was kind of clever. I have lots of clothes. Forgive me, Jesus. No, that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. And I like to give them away. Like when I don't wear them anymore, I give them away. And I give them to the same because I'm only so big. I'm like this big. And most people, I only can find people that are this big and they can have my clothes. And so I look for the this big people and then I give them my clothes. And there's a couple of pastors on our staff that are small and hate shopping. They hate shopping. And so I bless them by making them not have to shop, apparently. Look at the Lord using me like that. Thank you, Jesus. I shall keep shopping in your name. Hallelujah. That I would bless the people who hate shopping. Thank you, Lord. He works all things together for good. Hallelujah. All right. Sorry. I feel like that was a whole heresy right there. And the funny thing is, as I've given away these clothes, my friends have started naming clothing lines after me. My current clothing line is called the Tanae clothing line. My name is Tina. It's like Target, Tarjay. It's now the Tanae. This is by Tanae. I'm like, looks really good on you, that Tanae outfit. But oftentimes, we accept hand-me-downs because we think we don't deserve the first run. Or we think we can't get it together enough to get the best thing or the thing we really, our hearts really long for. And I believe that out of this passage, the Lord says he's doing a new thing. He's not repurposing an old thing. He's building something brand new for you. It's not a hand-me-down. It's not an extra thing that was leftover material from somebody else's blessing. It's yours. And he says, I'm doing a new thing. There's no hand-me-downs for you. Now it springs forth, it says. I'm doing a new thing. Behold, now it springs forth. Not that it was there and I'm just going to go get it and give it to you because the last person didn't want it. No, it's bursting out of the ground right now. It's brand new. It's fresh. It's for you. No hand-me-downs. How many middle and baby children do I have in this house who wore everybody else's hand-me-downs your whole life? This is a new day for you, ladies and gentlemen. A new day for you. He doesn't just repurpose, he recreates. You know, when every person went into that water, they came up a new creation. Not just a washed off version of the old creation, not a damp version of what once was. A brand new person came out of the water completely. Born again, made new because of what Jesus did. It's a crazy thing, but it's for real. And you can only find that new thing in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone, say anyone. How many anyones do I have in this room? Everybody is an anyone. Is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. It's been, what, forgotten? Yeah. Behold, the new has come. Behold, the new has come. Oh, he's not repurposing your stuff. He's making it new. He's making you new. Hear me say that again. He's making you new. Hearts of stone are becoming hearts of flesh. Things that used to define you in the negative are going to actually place you in positions where you influence because he does things new. Thank you, Jesus. He's redefining your story and making it new. And the fourth thing I want you to take away, other than the hand-me-downs, you're not going to forget hand-me-downs, are you? All right. The fourth thing is this: expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Isaiah 43 says, behold, go ahead and say that again. Behold, do it again like you really mean it. Behold, because there's actually an exclamation. I text all the time with 43 exclamation points. And every so often, my husband will say, would you like me to read you your text? And I said, what? He'll say, hi, I'm coming home now. Do you want me to bring Salmon home? Woohoo!
And I'm like, wow, that was a lot. He's like, so was your text. Everything doesn't require an exclamation point. A period was invented a long time ago so you could just make a statement. And I was like, I blame it on my hair. Everything is bigger, right, Kanda? It's just more exciting this way. I don't want you bored. Come on. More is more. Come on, Jesus. But in this passage, when it says, behold, exclamation point. Behold, get excited. Behold, be ready for a surprise. Behold, start jumping up and down because something that you did not expect is about to be revealed to you. And it's worth getting excited about. It's worth getting excited about. Behold, do you not perceive it? Behold, do you not see it? Behold, don't you have your eyes open looking for what God is going to do? Today, I want to encourage you to behold. Look at your neighbor and just say, you need to behold. Here's a better word. Say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because that's really what behold means. It just means, are your eyes open and ready to see what God is doing? Be on the lookout for the new thing that he is doing in your life. Isaiah 42 and 9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare, even before they spring forth. That's what the prophetic is all about. That's why that word of the Lord for Amy is all about. Why? Because God knows before you see it, he's already seen it. Which is why he can say to you, keep your eyes open. It's coming. It's coming. And when you're stuck in the middle, you're like, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. All I see is the construction workers are still in my house. All I see, I don't see the new thing. And he says, but I'm telling you it's coming because I see it before you see it. Why? Because it goes back to I'm the creator God and I'm doing a new thing. And I'm telling you, open your eyes to see that which I will do. God is doing a new thing and he's saying, will you open your eyes? Behold, pay attention, focus, stop looking at your own stuff and look at the heavens where his help comes from. Start looking at the one who's the creator of heaven and earth. Behold, you know, in this season of thanksgiving, of gratitude, one of the best ways to behold what God might be doing is to be grateful for what he is doing now. Oftentimes, we can't behold the new thing because we're so grumpy about the old stuff. Or we're grumpy about the middle stuff. And we're like, blah. That's my grumpy. I don't know what your grumpy sounds like. And I can't see. I can't see. My husband, oh, I'm going to tell myself, and I'm almost done, Pastor. I'm sorry. I don't even know what time I'm supposed to finish. Two more minutes. I'm done. On the day my husband proposed to me, my God, I was so grumpy because I had to get up early in the morning, and I didn't want to. He's like, we're going to go meet at this hour, and my parents are going to join us. Now, his parents don't live in town. I don't know why his parents were supposed to be there. I was mad about it. And I woke up, I said, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I called my best friend. I said, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I know, it's so terrible. And I said, blah, blah, blah. This was my whole morning. And my husband, who is just like this, he's like, you know, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, hey, let's walk. It's a lovely day. No, I don't want to walk. It's not a lovely day. Hey, look at this. I don't want to. Literally, this is my confession, and it's embarrassing, but it's true. And it's a beautiful day. It was a gorgeous day, and we're in the middle of this beautiful area, and there's these boats everywhere. And he's like, look at the pretty boats. I'm like, I hate boats. I literally said that out of my mouth. I hate the boats. Come on, Tina, you don't hate boats. If you could have a boat, what boat would you have? I don't want a boat. Stop asking me about boats. As I'm telling him how much I don't want boats and I hate boats,
he stops and puts his hand out. And I look at him, and I look up, and there's a boat. And there's our song playing from the boat. And he just smirks at me and smiles. And I was like, oh. And I heard the Lord say, behold. I told you to behold. Just kidding. He didn't do it that way. My husband walks me up. And over the next course of hours, one of the most beautiful proposals and the beginning of a new thing was before me. I almost could have missed that. No, he wouldn't have let me. Let's not be dramatic about it, right? 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 I couldn't have missed it. Thank God I didn't miss it. Oh, my gosh. But we can get caught up in our own mood and our own attitude and our own hurt and brokenness and our own stuff that we don't take the time to behold the beauty of what God is doing. Today, I just hear the Lord say, look up, look up, look up, look up, because he's doing a new thing. And he wants to do a new thing in your life. And one of the ways that we can see it is if we practice gratitude by looking for what he's already done. Thank you, God, for what's in front of me. Thank you, God, that you have given me this, even though this isn't what I really want, but it's something. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me from this. Thank you, God, for providing me the hand-me-downs until I get the new thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I promise you, if you begin to practice gratitude, you will be more poised to behold the new thing that God's going to do in your life or is already doing than if you did not. Today, I just want to encourage you to behold, he is doing a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Will you not perceive it? Today, I believe that one of the new things God wants to do in our midst is to bring new life to people who have not met him. It's the greatest new thing he could do. He takes us as we are, sinners, broken, wounded, lost. And he says, I want to do a new thing, and this is the new thing I want to do. I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a brand new start. And the only way that you get that is through my son, Jesus Christ. See, we were all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But the Word of God says that while we were still in our sin, God sent his only Son so that a new thing could be birthed in you and me. He died to pay the penalty for all the old things that we were stuck in. And he said, if you will behold and receive that gift of life, I will do a new thing in you. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new life. Better than just a new life, I will give you eternal life in Jesus Christ. Today, there's an opportunity for you to have that new life. Can I ask everybody to stand? I hope I'm not out of order, Pastor Andrew. Maybe you can join me here. Every head bowed and eyes closed. Today, if you said, I want that new thing. I want the new thing of Jesus Christ in my heart. I'm done with my old life. It hasn't been working for me. You heard the testimonies of those who went into the water. They said, I was doing a thing and it wasn't working for me until I met Jesus. Today, Jesus says, I want to do a new thing in your life and make you a new creation. If you want to meet Jesus today and be made new from the inside out, would you slip your hand up? I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. And you say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to know him today. I want to be made new, my heart restored. I don't want to live like I used to live, hands all over this room. Today, he says, today is the day of salvation. Behold, I am doing something new. Is there prayer teams that can come forward? If you're on the prayer team, would you just come on up quickly? If you raised your hand, don't wait. Could you come forward and begin to make your way forward and say, today I want prayer for this new thing that God wants to do. If that was you and you raised your hand, would you find somebody who's up here that's on the prayer? I see people coming all over the place. Say, I want Jesus to do something new in my life. I want to be made new. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer as everybody continues to make their way forward. Today, God, you would see God do something new. Father, I thank you that you are creator God and you do new things. You are doing something new right now, right now, right now, right now in our midst. Would we have eyes to see it? Would we have eyes to see how you're making all things new? And for those who decided today to say, Jesus, I want a new heart. I want a new life in Christ. Would this be the beginning of something unexpected and beautiful? We thank you, Lord, that you do all things well. Behold, you are doing something new in Jesus' name. Church, would you say amen with me? Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. The altars are open. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Keep on coming.
Oh, wasn't that so beautiful? Would you give it up, please, for Pastor Tina one more time? God is doing something new. He's doing something new in our lives. Let me just give you a blessing and get you out of here. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have blessed your people. And in the name of Jesus right now, I just declare a blessing on every man and every woman, every child that's in this room, Lord, that you would go with them, make your face shine upon them brightly, even as they walk out of this place, that they would walk into the newness that you have, that they would be shocked with the goodness, Lord, and surprised with the way that you are chasing after them to declare a new thing over them today. Lord, I just declare today there are new things in store for your people in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.